Welcome to Mean Age Daydream with me, Brian McWilliams, where we're going to be making some jokes, laughing out at broken world, but also laying out the philosophy for the future, how we can fix this mess we're in and have a great time doing it all with a Mean Age Daydream. What's up, Buttercups? Welcome to Mean Age Daydream. I am, of course, Brian McWilliams, and today I have a very special guest, one of the Tower Gang I've not had on here, but of course we go back a long way, and that's the one and the only Toad. Hi, Toad.
Brian, what's going on, man? You got another sexy, bald, bearded guy on with you today.
I know. What is he, behind the chair, hiding? Is he right behind
you?
Yeah,
that's right. He's actually below me here, sucking me off.
Nice. That's where the toad comes from. That's what the episode podcast, Toad in a Hole, because you like to fill holes of any size, any variety, any form. Yeah.
Usually it's just the one in the middle of my hand, but yes.
Yeah, do you want to show us that sign again? The one that you were just talking about, you flashed the other day. Now we're canceled. Now everybody's canceled. We cancel once more. Well, welcome to the show, man. I'll say it's like, you know, I had you on when it was you and me and Clint and Reed when we were all in Reno. And that was now like 2 years ago. Yeah, almost 2 years ago. So, yeah, it's good to have you on solo, mano y mano here. And some good stuff to talk about because there's been some good stuff in the news. And I think that, you know, between the teen stabbing story, right, with Nikolai Mew, I think I was saying that right, and probably not, which is interesting, right, because I'm all against stabbing teens if they're girls getting abortions, right? I know, probably not the place and time, but I'm all for it in the case of self-defense if a bunch of asshole teens are surrounding you in a river. So, you know, we'll definitely talk about that. I'll let you pick first, so you don't talk about that. Do you want to talk about the Spike Cohen, David Hogg gun debate? Or do you want to talk about this FISA stuff that just happened? Because that was today. Like, we're recording this. I'm recording this early, by the way. If you guys listen to the podcast Wednesday, I'm out of town next week. So Toad is kind enough to join me on a Friday here for an early recording. So this FISA vote just happened today. So which one? Pick your poison.
Yeah, lucky for you, I spent half the day at, like, the RMV. License photo was too old. They're like, you're not bald enough. you're not old enough in this photo. You're not ugly enough. We need to update this. We can go in order of that. We can talk about the debate first. I think it might be the least interesting of those.
I mean, yes and no, right? Because the debate itself, well, you talk about what your thoughts, your takeaway from the debate itself, because then I thought what's interesting to talk about, and I saw you talk about this on Twitter, was the outcome, right? The vote after the debate ended. So give your thoughts on the debate. Then we'll talk about what the vote was, right, in this Oxford style debate, and then our opinions on whether or not you can change people's opinions or not, because I think that'll be interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, the debate, I didn't even finish it. Like, I couldn't get through the debate, but it was, I mean, obviously, I mean, I'm a libertarian. As much as you want to shit on me for some of my gun-related takes recently with immigration and with trans people and whatever, I'm still on the side of Spike Cohen in this debate. David Hogg is not only a moron, but he is also just a complete plant. And I don't know what else to say about that. I think he's just a malicious actor at this point, like a government actor.
Careful. You don't want to get Alex Jones by calling him a crisis actor, which and coincidentally also
the shooting at Parkland never happened.
Well, just came out today too. Like that CIA or yesterday, the CIA informant or CIA operative that got recorded talking about how the CIA ruined Alex Jones and worked with the FBI to basically bankrupt the guy. So yeah, you know, they'll come after you and they know how to do it. But yeah, I mean, I agree. I think what gives it away, the little dickhead went to Harvard, right? Didn't he go to Harvard after?
Yeah, I think he might still go there. I don't know how old he is at this point, but he basically got like a free ride to Harvard just because of who he is there. So I don't even think that's a positive really though. So it's like, oh, your school gets shot up. You're like the most famous survivor of the school shooting, I guess. And then, oh, go to Harvard now and just become even more just entrenched in the establishment, basically. Go to the most establishment academic institution that is out there. And it's right in my in the neck of my woods as well. So
You don't have much of a neck, so that's good.
But no, I don't.
But yeah, I mean, exactly. He goes to Harvard, and like you're saying, if there's one place you know, if he is a plant, right, this kid, if he is one place you're going to go, it's going to be an Ivy League school. Right. Like that idiot Jackson Lee, whatever, something Jackson Lee, she went to Yale.
Yeah,
who was Sheila talking about Jackson how the moon Lee, is made yeah. of gases. Sheila Jackson Lee went to Yale, was on the astronautics or aeronautics and space committee, something along those lines, and yet doesn't know what the moon is.
She thinks she's in Hidden Figures.
Right. She was doing the mathematics. They just shoot past the moon straight into the sun. That's what they don't tell you. The first black astronauts were part of that, too. And they just went straight into the sun.
Black people can't even do math. It's racist.
Oh, Toad, come on. As long as it equals five. But David Hogg, you know, he goes to the school. And it is funny. Like, yeah, he gets a free ride because his school got shot up. You've got affirmative action giving lots of people, you know, free rides into Harvard. And yet the Asians can't get in. They had Vietnam. I mean, what more? We killed so many Asians over there. Can't they get a break? Can't they get a shot here? No. The Korean War, we killed lots of Koreans. Is it just the Chinese Asians or the Japanese Asians that aren't allowed to go to Harvard for free?
Yeah, I think so. Stop Asian hate. It's because they're skewing. I mean, everybody knows that that's why. It's because they tend to have like the highest IQs, basically, and they're skewing the results like in that direction. They're skewing it so that non-Asians have a more difficult time getting into those schools.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Well, so for the debate, like you said, I mean, Spike Cohen basically trounced him. I mean, he got them, got him to admit, you know, his question on, and actually one of the best parts of the debate was Lily Tang Williams, who of course had come out of communist China. There's a great meme of her going around right now. I don't know if you saw it. It's David Hogg on the top and then Lily Tang Williams on the bottom holding two, you know, AK-15s or AR-15s.
Yeah.
But she basically pressed him on the fact, like, she goes, okay, can you tell me whether or not our government's going to become tyrannical? Because she comes from communist China, where it's tyrannical. And of course, they you know, none of the citizens are allowed to have arms. And he goes, no, I can't. So she goes, okay, then I'm going to keep my guns. I mean, right there sums up everything you need to know. And they're doing this debate at Dartmouth, right? Which, and you know, kudos to Dartmouth for hosting it. I'm surprised that there wasn't protested. But of course, I guess if David Hogg's there, they're not going to protest the Hogg.
Well, maybe it was, though. Well, yeah, I don't know, because they're like, oh, this Spike Cohen guy, he's a brony and marches with BLM. All right, I guess he's fine.
He did defend Spike Cohen, to his shame, did go out on a limb saying that trans deaths were off the charts, which has been a million times.
The trans genocide thing. Like, this guy's one of us.
Right. So he's got them fooled. On a side note, do you think David Hogg has women lining up to fuck him at these colleges?
No, I do not. I don't think either of those guys do.
No, I don't know. Spike might have a little. He might have a little laser in him. He might have a little sneaky Pete.
If he rips his shirt open, revealing the hairy chest, then maybe.
Yeah. Plus, he likes to wrote. Didn't Spike have MS? Well, yes. I guess he still has it, right? Or Parkinson's, one of the two. I thought he got diagnosed with something serious that he was able to overcome. Really? Well, anyway, Parkinson's. If he's watching, he can talk about it in the comments.
If he has Parkinson's, I will not ask him to hand me a soda.
No, you don't want that or a beer. But you do want him to hand you, let's say, like, you know, like a glow stick. Yeah, that way you don't have to really, you know, right. It's so annoying to shake up. Or a Polaroid. Spike Cohen, great guy. If he's got Parkinson's, you hand him, like Michael J. Fox, you take a photo with a Polaroid camera, you hand that shit to Michael J. Fox so you don't have to flip it around. And you know, it's annoying.
That's right. Spike could also be like a bartender, right? You just stay like this the whole time.
It's cocktail. They're flipping around bottles and he shakes a perfect martini, but then drops it on your lap.
Yeah, this guy's a showman. He's awesome at this.
All right. So anyway, Spike wipes the floor with David Hogg, just destroys him. Lily Tang Williams destroys him in the question and answer period. And then because it's an Oxford style debate, it's who you convince right at the end of it. You start with a neutral position, supposedly, and it's who changed their position during the debate. So they, you know, they query the crowd, they fill out their questionnaires, and some 70% or 71%, I think, still thought that there should be gun restrictions and that we, that you shouldn't have an unhindered Second Amendment.
Yeah. Did Spike actually win based on the Oxford rules or no? I don't even know.
No, he lost. He based on the Oxford. Well, based on Oxford rules, because it's who changes their opinion more.
No, I know, but that makes it even more insane that Spike didn't even win based on the Oxford rules, because based on the Oxford rules, it's who changed more opinions. So like you'd figure that Hogg would have like a huge percentage to start with, and that's a disadvantage in an Oxford style debate. So even with that, you're saying he gained a percentage.
Yeah, that's what at least from my understanding of it. And this is going off of Jeremy Kaufman's post.
That's what inspired mine. Yeah, I was like, Jeremy is absolutely right.
Yeah, because to sum up, so for you out there that don't know what we're talking about, this is a little inside basebally, but essentially Jeremy Kaufman had argued that you can't change these people's minds. And that there is, you know, and this debate was a perfect example, because no matter what argument got put forth by Spike Cohen, no matter how logical, reasonable, backed up by data, you've got a woman in there, you know, who has been lived through it and is saying this is insane. You still have people that are so staunchly in their position, you can't win them over. Like there's no ideological argument or no logical argument that can overcome ideology. And you agree with this.
I agree with that. And I, in my tweet that was kind of inspired by Jeremy's, I pointed out that it is essentially a religion. Like that is what you're going at. You're asking somebody to change their religion. It's real. That's a really difficult ask.
Yeah. Well, and I completely agree. And this ties into kind of what I've been working on, right? My theory and what I'm trying to do with the party right now. And it's going to be, we'll see, it's going to be rolling out soon. For the public consumption, but the premise that you can't, like you said, it is a religion, and we need to, if we're talking about politics, we're talking about ideology, we have to treat it as a religion. We have to look at it as though we're winning over religious converts. And what you do to win over converts, like there's a reason people will blow themselves up for Islam, because they're promised a wonderland of 77 virgins, right? They explode themselves. Now we're not going to promise that, but the libertarian viewpoint has been so negative insofar as we're going to take away this, that, and the other. We're going to remove these government programs. We're going to eliminate this and that. What you need to be doing is find a way to turn our philosophy into something that provides people with a more positive vision of the future than what they have. And because of the failed policies from the left, from the right, right? The rights is we're going to go back. You're going to get in your 1940s, one person has to work and you get two Studebakers in your garage and a nuclear family. Great. That ain't never going to happen, but that's what they're promising. The left's like, we're going to make sure you don't have to work and we're going to send all your David Hoggs to college. And, you know, whatever, which sucks, right? We look around you. You see the climate bullshit falling apart. You see the trans nonsense falling apart. You see the economy falling apart and inflation through the roof. People are primed right now to receive a message of, we can give you a better future. Here's what it looks like. And that's the message we have to deliver, because that's the religious nature of it. You have to give them something to believe in that's not going to break down easily under scrutiny, because it's far reaching. It's aspirational, and that's what we have to deliver, or else we're not ever going to compete.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think probably the approach would be, and I didn't quite get at this in the tweet that I made, but I think the approach might be to somehow try to attack it through like the culture. Like a lot of libertarians think that the culture thing is just like completely separated from the ideology. And I don't think so at all. I think the cultural battle matters a lot. And I think winning that would be huge, but it's difficult to do when you have like all the adherents to the libertarian ideology or people who are horrible socially, basically, and have no social or cultural skills, except for you.
I'm one of the very few. There's so few of us that it's, I mean, you could count us on one hand and also discount us on that same hand. Yeah, man. I mean, I don't know. I've said this on the show a few times. I think that this year, you said that I think it's a year of breakthrough. You know, I think with what the party's going to be doing as far as altering the messaging, I think, like I said, all of these narratives collapsing in on themselves, and a younger generation, like the people coming out of like high school, they know they've been sold a false bill of goods. The college kids, they might be, you know, they're still butt fuck retarded, but the younger generation coming up, they're questioning everything. They don't have the mainstream media. They question what they've been fed. They look around, they're seeing the lies, they're seeing the stuff fall in. And they're also the generation that has gone through this whole trans madness. And they're the generation that's now detransitioning. So they've extra super been attuned to like, oh, our entire system here was taught to mislead us. I think that 2024 is going to be like this ultimate turning point. And I'm curious to see by the end of the year if we've made some massive gains. And I think that, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with RFK, with our campaign. And we'll talk about you running for president for the LP, because I want people to support your campaign. And when this goes out, I'll put a link to that campaign. But, you know, I mean, what do you think that we're at a crux? Do you think that people have gotten to the point where they're able to separate the reality from the narrative?
I think we're getting closer to that point, or I would say more people are, I guess, of that mindset at this point than in the past. But I think it might be getting closer to reaching like a point where you have enough people that think that way that it can actually make a difference to some extent, because you do also have this problem where you have a lot of people who do think that way and like realize that all this is bullshit, but they're also like afraid to say that that's what they think.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm sure you'll find that too. Like if you go out and you just like talk to people like one-on-one, you'll find that like a lot more people agree with you than you would think, even in like a blue city, like in Boston. That even tends to be the case, even like among like some of the people that I work with and stuff. Well, like in private, they'll be like, yeah, I think you're right. But they won't say that otherwise, like in any public way.
Yeah. Yeah. They won't stick their necks out for you. But I think even that's changing. I think you're seeing corporate cultures change as well. You know, like in the gaming industry right now, there's this whole thing blowing up with Black Girl Gaming or something, or Black Sweet Candy. It was like the Black Girl Gamers and this Sweet Baby Inc., which is like a black run female gaming consultancy that just came in and like ruined games. And it's getting all this attention because of, again, you know, they're forcing this change on the industry and everybody went along with it. And now all these games are tanking. The industry's tanking. Like games, I saw an interesting stat. Like if your chair makes me think that you're a gamer, but maybe you just bought that because you have hemorrhoids.
both.
Or both. Yeah. Both. But there was a stat that something like 67% of the hours spent on video games were spent playing games that were 5 years older or more.
Yeah. Like I don't think I've played a new video game for who knows how long, except for games where it was like a new like installment of some older game, like Diablo 4.
Yeah, like
4.
New content. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you know, I mean, but it goes to show you it's hitting the wall. I think you're seeing with entertainment as well. Like they're hitting the wall of like, we're not making money. All these woke shows are going off the air. All these woke movies are tanking. Disney, yeah. Look at Disney, man, $400 million losses on Marvels and indie. Cause mm-hmm. People yeah. just are sick of this shit. They're sick of it. I'm telling you, we're at a crux.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
the mainstream is kind of like picking up on that too. Like I know you do like reviews of South Park and stuff, like the latest South Park, or maybe it was the second most recent, I forget, but one of them was the what was it, the something, the woke-iverse or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah
that one was like really hitting on like the Disney stuff, so it is out there. Like we're not the only people who see that. Like a lot of people do. Yeah, do see that.
Yeah, the Cartman in there is like, put a chick in it, make her lame and make her gay. Over and over and over again. Okay, let's turn to a different topic now. Let's talk about the what did I say the order was? Let's talk about the stabbing teens, the old teen stabbing. Yeah, with Nikolai.
I think you got it right. I think it's Mew. I believe he's Romanian. M-I-U.
Yeah, Mew. So this guy basically is looks like he's about, I don't even know, 50 maybe?
Something like
54
that.
54 years old. Now, the guy is, from the video I saw, it looked like the only video available to me, the guy is walking through the river. You've got a group of teens who are all jacked up on adrenaline and being dickheads that are fucking drunk. clearly drunk, clearly all fired up. And you know how these kids these age are, they kind of play off each other's aggression. So they're screwing with this guy. He's just trying to walk away. Like very clearly, he's trying to walk away from them. They come around, they get to the point, like he turns around and they're kind of like a shoving match. He gets pushed to the ground. They're all around him. They keep shoving him under the water. And then he, whoopsie daisy, has a knife. So, oh, good job. Oh, Libertarian Podcast Reviews over here. Yeah, mutiny Tyler. On the river. Good job.
Tyler, what's up? Yeah.
Yeah, what's up, T? who's now producing the Tower Gang pod, doesn't even offer to produce my show. Just a complete ass fucking. So anyway, so Muse shoved underwater and whoops, he's got a... Okay, so you're saying, so Mew punched a girl first? I saw that. Yeah, he punched a girl first, but he was surrounded. He's surrounded by these teens. He's surrounded by these teens who are aggressively pursuing the guy, and he fights back. Then they shove him underwater. They continuously shove him underwater, and he knifes a guy. At least one teen I saw got knifed. And now he is convicted as guilty. To me, it looked like straight self-defense in every possible way. Yeah. I can't imagine, you know, like if you're an older man, you're walking in the river, having the aggressive bunch of teens after you, calling you a pedophile, right? This came up later too. They're calling him a pedophile and harassing the guy. Once it gets to that point, it's fight or flight, right? That's the mode you enter. So, I mean, what was your take watching it?
Yeah, so the video like doesn't show the whole thing. The video is very good for him, really. And of course, the video is what happened. And I agree with you. I do think it was a clear case of self-defense. But I can try to steel man like the other side of it while I can kind of explain like what I believe is what happened based on like all the info that I have gathered based off of this. But yeah, in the video, you could see what you just described basically. But the incident kind of happened before that. And then the kid that started filming, I think it was the kid that took the stand, the black kid who was clearly lying like repeatedly and was one of the kids. Oh, we didn't say that he was a pedophile. What are you talking about? Like, yeah, right. Like, yeah, you did. So I believe the whole thing started. So these kids were all on the river, whatever. Mew was actually out there with his family. I think everybody was just, rafting or whatever. The kids were tubing. Mew, I guess, was rafting, or I don't know what he was doing out there. He did have a knife on him, which that's one thing that he actually lied about. He had brought a knife with him. I'm pretty sure it was his knife, and it was like a utility type of knife that you'd use.
What did he say? He found a sharp rock?
I don't know what he said about that, but he had a knife.
Fish jump out of the river, kill Keith. I don't know. In Romania, it happens all the time.
Yeah, exactly. I like his style. I like the style of the Romanians. He wound up throwing the knife like into the water, but part of it was like, I think he entered like the mode where like I need to like, because I think maybe part of him even knows like, oh, like we wind up in a situation like this. We get screwed by the system, but I think it actually wound up screwing him because he actually did not actually tell the truth, even though the truth was on his side. So that was kind of the problem. He shouldn't have taken the stand. Taking the stand like killed his case, I think. I don't know why he did or why the lawyer, I would have to assume, told him not to do it. And he probably said, I'm going to do it anyway. But that was a huge mistake because they brought up all the things that he lied about. One was the knife, but I think that's kind of irrelevant. Like, who cares if it was his knife or not? You got to look at like what the act was. And then from what I can gather, the whole thing started because his friend lost his phone in the river. He went to try to get the friend's phone, and he was kind of in the space of where these teenagers were at this point. The teenagers, of course, are all drunk morons, and they have this outsider, this older Romanian dude coming in. He didn't explain himself well, so that was kind of the other problem. He didn't tell them what he was doing, so he's just kind of like in their space, like looking under their tubes and stuff. So I think that led him to be like, oh, this guy's a pedophile and whatever, and they start bullying the guy, and it winds up being this whole, like, you know how the mob mentality is. It winds up being this whole mob mentality amongst all these kids. It wound up being 13 on one, by the way, 13 people who are more like close to their athletic prime against an older
They're easily as tall as the guy too. You know, it's like he might have more mass, but none of these kids, like these teens, look like they're all in shape. They're tall. They're not like scrawny little, you know, like weaklings. No. It's not like how many kindergartners can you beat up scenario. These are kids that are at their, as you said, 17, 18 at their athletic prime.
Right. So that it all happened. Yeah, they started like harassing him, like yelling at him, like yelling that he was a pedophile, which really that serves to like incite like other people to come attack this guy because, oh, this guy's looking at little girls. So that's only going to serve to get more people to come out and attack him. I'm going to ignore what Tyler is saying at the moment because I don't want to read it right now. But so that all happened. That's kind of how it started. And then it wound up being the situation that you see on the video where he wound up kind of being surrounded by all these people. And yes, I think he did shove one of the girls. But at that point, I think they were in his space at that point and had already been harassing him at that point. You can see
he's trying to walk away. I mean, the girl gets in his space and he pushes her or shoves her down, and then the guys come out and then the guys will attack him, you know, like beast mode attack him. But they were chasing after this guy.
They shoved him down.
Yeah, he's trying to walk away, and they gather around him, screaming, yelling, shoving him to the ground. He can't get up. I mean, if that's me, I mean, that's stabbing time. That's it. Yeah. Like I said on the last show, it's stabbing time. If I have a knife and I'm being shoved down, you have a family. You're a family man. It's time to go. It's fight or flight. It is me or you. This is life or death. You don't know if these kids are going to fucking kill you. I mean, you don't know. They could kill you by accident. You could drown. I mean, you can't see. You've got water in your eyes. It's stabbing time. That's it.
So that was the other thing. He tried to walk away, but you're in a river, so he can't really get out of there that fast. He tried to get away, and they still surrounded him. They followed him a bit up the river, and it got to a point when the stabbing took place where his only route that wasn't blocked by them was a route that would take him into like deeper water. So he really didn't have like an escape route at that point. And they had already knocked him down and had surrounded him. So at that point, yes, I believe that is an act of self-defense at that point. He screwed himself by just not sticking to what actually happened and and not really explaining himself well. So he wound up getting convicted of whatever the charges were. The one count, because so he stabbed, I think, five people. One died and he got charged.
Isaac Schumann died.
So he got charged with like intentional homicide, I think, and then four counts of whatever, like reckless endangerment or something like that. So I don't know if he's getting the max or whatever, but that
it's saying he faces 97 years. We'll see. We'll see what he could get, but it's one of those things where, you know, and this is what you had tweeted out. It's like you have to have some modicum of self-defense in this country, and to ignore the circumstances, which clearly is what happened here. This jury got convinced by a crying family that this guy who, you know, probably doesn't come across in the best possible way. And, you know, clearly, as you said, so Tyler from Libertarian Podcast Review is a lawyer. He was saying he did a long interview with the cops without an attorney. That was stupid. Guys, always really make sure to shut the fuck up or have an attorney present. Those are your two rules.
Yeah.
So he had to testify. So noted. I'm sure he didn't come across very well, as he said in the testimony. I'm sure that the jury found him unsympathetic. It doesn't help that he's speaking, you know, a second language. But I'm sorry. Watching that video, I don't see how a jury can convict the man. Like, it boggles my mind. It's like when you hear in New York of people getting convicted for shooting a person that broke into their house when their family's sleeping, and somehow they go to jail. The teens surrounded him. He didn't run into the middle of these teens and start stabbing. He's trying to walk away. How can you not see what the circumstance is here? Do you people not know how these kids get? Do you not see them being aggressive? Do you not see him trapping this man? Do you not see him pushing him under the water? Like, give me a fucking break. And to give him reckless homicide, I mean, at worst, it should be, manslaughter? Because guys just trying not to get killed. It makes me so angry. I mean, so angry. And I like, at least it's getting attention. Just look at the FISA thing. I like that it's getting attention, at least, so everyone can go, this is horse shit.
Yeah. And he was also a guy, he had no history of anything like this. No criminal history, no like violent past as far as anybody.
Well, that we know of. There might be a lot more knives in that river. He might have found a previous knife that he had ditched in that river. He's like, I remember I left it here. Perfect place for a knife.
He's got a really ugly wife. So I think that makes him trustworthy, right?
Should have used the knife on her face. Nip tuck it. Get her down. Yeah, do a little home plastic surgery, Nikolai.
Yeah.
It's depressing, man. It's just depressing to see. And
I was...
go ahead.
I had hope. Until he took the stand, I thought he was going to win the case because the prosecution witnesses looked so bad, especially the kid who I think was the cameraman, the one that I mentioned, was just caught in like multiple lies on the stand, just ridiculous. Oh, you don't even remember? He's like, it basically became the breakfast question. He's like, well, what if I didn't lie back then? It's like, yeah, but you did. So until then, and then it's like, oh, Mew is actually going to take the stand. I'm like, oh, that's not good. That is not good. And I believe, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he also had Rittenhouse's attorney.
Really?
This also took place in Wisconsin, I'm pretty sure, which is where the Rittenhouse incident took place as well. So I think he had one of Rittenhouse's attorneys. So I was hopeful about that, too, if that was true.
Well, I mean, we'll see. Clearly, the guys, it ain't right. It goes to show you just anytime you've got, I think, that dynamic of kids versus adults, it's going to come down to emotions. And it's so much of our judicial system's emotional. Like, this is what drives you nuts about civil cases, too. Right. You know, like all these decisions that are like Donald Trump related, or the Alex Jones one. We're talking about Alex Jones earlier, how the CIA took him out with Lawfare. The emotional aspect of it is so powerful that it overrides, and it kind of ties in with what we're talking about preaching philosophy too.
The hog thing.
Yeah, getting through these people's emotional reactions, it doesn't matter the scenario, and it's such a challenge to make them take the position of the man, like get past the crying moms and these stupid teens, and get you know, the position of a man trying to defend his life and you know, by virtue of that, his family. Like, who knows? Yeah. Who knows? These teens might have gone on a raping spree after that. Maybe they like ugly women, ugly Romanian women.
I guarantee that at least one of those teens is going to commit future crimes. I think it's almost guaranteed. But I mean, I think it was easy to like get people on the side of this guy if he had not taken the stand, and then you just gotta just portray like the. What was really the facts that this was just a group of like bullies, basically bullying an older dude who was up against 13 of them. Like that's really what the case was. Seems like it would have been easy to make people see that basically. Cause that was what happened.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to all those teens
on the stand.
Yeah. Right. Well, I look forward to all those teens being given full rides to Harvard hog style.
Yeah.
Let's talk about FISA, man, because this FISA situation, you know, I don't know about you. I didn't have a lot of hope. Actually, I had zero hope that the FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which came up for renewal, it got slapped down. And at first, you know, a few of us took a victory lap because it was confusing. The reporting that came out initially was that it got blocked by the House. The renewal got blocked. And I was like, all right, good job, House. Then Thomas Massie kind of corrected the record. And he goes, no, this is actually not necessarily a good thing, because what happened was that they blocked the vote overall, and they didn't get to vote on the amendments that would have prohibited warrantless spying on Americans anyway, that would have removed this abouts section, which is abouts is like people that are connected to a person that was being surveilled. But not necessarily, they weren't being surveilled themselves, but because they were connected, that's like this abouts bullshit. It's another 6 degrees Kevin Bacon loophole. It was that. It was another amendment which takes out narcotics under domestic terrorism, which should be removed. And then there was one more, which I can't remember off the top of my head, but Thomas Massie was like, no, we actually, it would have been better to have the vote today. So then today, we got like it's all this media attention, right? And we're trying to do campaigns like get out, call your senator or call your congressman to vote. Fart noise still fucking passes. Exact same shit. None of the amendments are in there. I mean, did you have any hope for this thing, or did you just foregone conclusion?
No, I wasn't even following it. I just always assume something like this is a foregone conclusion. And I'm assuming what Massie said was correct. So I think what you're saying was, so that thing that got slapped down was whether or not they were going to vote for it at the time. Is that what it was?
He was trying to bring a vote to the floor with the amended bill. And right, that would have made it locked. Yeah. And it got blocked by Republicans, actually. So it was funny because we were all like, oh, these Republicans, you know, crossed the aisle to block the vote. Who would have thought? And then it was like, oh, that actually screwed us over. They were just doing it to give a middle finger to whatever. So yeah, at the end of the day, we're stuck with the same crap, got renewed again, and none of the provisions, I believe, are in there to protect us. The one thing I'll say, though, is a positive here, is that unlike previous eras of the FISA bill coming up, it got more attention. Like, I mean, we're talking about it. Russell Brand's talking about it. You know, like there's everybody that matters in the space of alternative media was on this story, and almost unanimously was like, this is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. This is a disgrace. This has to be overturned. And of course, it exposes these animals, these treacherous pieces of hog shit, for what they are. Yeah. And I think that that's, you know, again, refreshing. I think we're winning. It's going to take a while to get these, you know, these garbage monsters out, but I think we're winning in the perceptual war, and the people are waking up to what's happening.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there are certain, yeah, white pills that you've been dropping in this episode, and I agree with that. I think it is a good thing. Yeah, more people are seeing this. You have people with huge followings, like, yeah, you mentioned Russell Brand. I don't know who else huge was on this one, but yeah, people see this. It's just, then it becomes a matter of, like, how can, like, change actually happen? Like, yes, a lot of people see this. So is it going to come through the fact that, like, maybe eventually it becomes so unpopular that the government just, like, can't do it anymore?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that's going to be the case or what it might be. Or, you know, I mean, I always kind of advocate for, like, I would like to see decentralization.
Mm-hmm.
And I think change might be able to come through that way, where it's like, oh, you just get these, like, smaller and smaller entities that are just like, fuck that. Like, we're just going to completely ignore all this shit that's happening federally, basically. And it will wind up not mattering anymore that way.
Well, the question,
and maybe I'll go see Civil,
like,
War tonight. I don't want to see that. Decentralization, maybe. I'm sure it's a terrible movie.
I'm sure it is, too. I've only seen one trailer for it, but I'm sure it's going to be god-awful. The thing that's always worrying to me, like, is, so Mike Johnson, this has been reported that, you know, Mike Johnson, I guess some other senators, I'm trying to remember who, but it was been tweeted out by some of the people that objected to this. They were tweeting out that it was amazing how the FBI/CIA sat down with some of the people that were in objection to the bill and, quote unquote, explained to them how this bill was very important. And overnight, they changed their opinions on it. So what do you think those conversations entailed? Google search history, dead prostitutes, bags of cocaine hidden in their car trunks. Like, what would you do? What would the Toad move be? Yeah,
video footage that has been given to them through Epstein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
It's
right.
Something like that. Yeah. It's one of those smoke filled, like, back rooms. Like, this is what's going to happen. Like, you are going to vote for this, or we're going to do this to you. It's some form of blackmail, or it could be like bribery as well. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's kind of amazing to see what, like, people, actually, this is what you and I can argue about, because initially this episode is going to be about arguing. So Javier Milei, I've seen you be very critical of my boy Javier, and mostly because of, well, I'll let you lay it out. So why don't you like Javier Milei, and then I'll provide my counterpoint on it.
I think that he is not who libertarians are purporting him to be. And I think it's beyond obvious at this point, where since he's been president, he's essentially spent the entire time, like, just parading around with globalists. He was at the WEF, and he did not, as libertarians claim, he did not just give them a middle finger. That was not the case at all. He was, like, being praised by these guys. He is supporting Israel in every way. Like, I don't even know if he's even been in Argentina, really. And he's supporting, like, the entire U.S. Empire, the military industrial complex. He's been supportive of all of that. So I see him being pro, like, globalist and pro U.S. empire in every way.
Yeah, all right, that's fair. But yes, I agree with Tyler. Toad gets his feed from Dan McAdams' Twitter feed.
Ron Paul Liberty Report, baby.
Look, I'll acknowledge, I also noted, yes, he is supportive. He said, you know, support of Israel, like you said, talking to, you know, the U.S. empire, support of it. But I also think about the fact that, okay, who are we talking about? No, like, he's done some amazing things, more than any, he's the most libertarian leader, right? So it's hard for me to say, fuck this guy, because he's supporting the American empire. Because look, you, number one, you need to stay in power to do some things. And Lord knows, we know how to get people removed from power. Number one. Number two, we need somebody out there that is still 85% where you want to be from a libertarian perspective. He's gouging the state. He's reduced their inflation, I mean, exponentially. He's bounced. They have now have a budget surplus from being something like $800 million in debt. They now have a budget surplus. He is removing and firing government employees, destroying government bureaus. I mean, he's sticking to his guns on that. He's done an amazing job with that. And you have to give the guy fucking credit while also acknowledging that he has to play the game. Like, he's playing the game. Who knows what's going to happen in the future with the relations to Israel or the United States. But for now, when you're in there, try not to get yourself killed. Because I was thinking, like, for our deep state, right? And this ties into the FISA thing. Getting rid of FISA, getting rid of the deep state, you're going to need somebody that comes in there and just as, and for our deep state, is going to have to say, strike fast, strike hard, have a plan in place that they can't stop to eliminate them, right? Because otherwise they're going to kill you. They're going to blackmail you. They're going to, you know, blackmail your family. As was it Schiff or Schumer famously said, they've got a million ways to get you, the deep state.
Schumer.
So for us, yeah, Schumer, right? Chuck Schumer.
I think so.
So, I mean, you have to go in there with fucking fire and brimstone and the holy saber of God and cut this fucking cancer out fast. And you have to accept that you're going to have hell rain down on you. He maybe doesn't want to have the hell rain down on him right now. And you got to give him credit for what he's done, right?
I don't love that argument because that is the argument that most people bring up. And I would not say that he's 85%.
It's a good argument.
I would not say that he's 85% libertarian just based on the fact that he is awful in all the ways that I just described on like basically the most major issues. Is he making some improvements in Argentina? Yes. But I think that that's also being overstated as well, because I think the gouging of the state is he's taking this massively bloated state apparatus and he's like slashing shit that doesn't matter at all, like the Department of Women and whatever, that like what is that department even doing?
It does matter. Like getting rid of $800 million that's supposed to go towards transsexual, you know, conversion therapy is a very good thing.
It's good. It's just not as good as people are claiming is.
Let me also put this into context for you though too. Okay. Here's the thing. If you want to go in there and say, okay, well, he's the worst on the biggest issue being empire and war, right? I agree. That's a major issue for us, for Argentina and their pissant military and the pissant amounts they spend on military expenditures. It's not that big a deal, man. It's our biggest thing because of the massive military industrial complex that exists here. For Argentinians, their concern is food, economy, freedom of speech, you know, like that's the bigger deal. And he's addressing that for those people. If he was in our country, having the ability that maybe he has, it might be totally different.
Yeah. I'm not saying that I don't want that shit to improve. I am also saying that I'm not even convinced that it is going to improve as significantly as people are claiming that it is. He seems to be spending most of his time on these global issues, which is, I mean, that's the major problem that I have, obviously. And he's on the world stage. He is like hanging out with all of those people. And that's basically all you see him doing. And in addition to that, the other like major problem that I have, like maybe the biggest issue here, is that he is saying that he is a libertarian. He is an anarcho-capitalist. And the things that he is the most public about are things that are completely in opposition to what we believe. Like that is not what we want people.
I don't know, man. The things that people are seeing. The things that people are seeing, the things that you're seeing are the things that you don't like because that you're fixated on. The things that the vast majority of people are seeing is him saying he's a libertarian and going afuera, afuera.
Show me some of the better meme, shit,
man. The public perception is that that's what he is the guy living the libertarian ideal of shrinking the state, righting the economy and giving people back their spending power. That's what the mass public is seeing. And that's a good thing. I know you're concerned about the other shit, and I'm not saying you shouldn't be. I'm concerned about that too. But from a public relations perspective, from a philosophy and understanding perspective, he's doing an amazing amount of good for us.
I think that he is like I was just alluding to, I think he is tainting the name libertarian. And if he was not claiming to be a libertarian, I would probably be a bit softer on him, because I mean, you have to hold somebody to like the standard that they set for themselves. Like if he's saying I am a libertarian, he's the only person who is like in charge of a country in the world who is claiming to be a libertarian, and he's doing all these very anti-libertarian things. I think that's a huge problem. I think you got to hold him to a higher standard because that is what he is claiming to be. And I don't even know where else I was going with that, but I was about to start getting into some of the weird shit that goes on in his personal life that I think gives me questions as well. But what I was going to say is I think that a correct comparison to him would be to compare him to like Giorgio Meloni of Italy. I think that's comparison to make.
I think that's way off base.
I don't think
I
so.
Also think, counterpoint to you saying he's a libertarian, giving libertarians a bad name, I don't think you understand where the libertarian name is, man. We've had assholes like Bill Weld say the libertarians. We've had assholes like oh god, who said they were libertarian just recently?
Military industrial complex guy.
Ted Cruz. Yeah.
Ted Cruz, did he ever claim to be a libertarian?
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. You have all these guys saying that they're libertarians, or they're like, I'm a libertarian leaning Republican. That our moniker's already in the shit. If anything, Javier is pulling that back towards respectability. Well, I guess we'll see. Look, Ted, we'll see. But I think my point maintains in that you can criticize him, but dude is playing the game right now, in my opinion. And also, like I was saying before, his support of Israel, his support of, you know, the military industrial complex is infinitesimal to his country. So it might just be a means to an end to keep things stable, keep things happy with the U.S. so he doesn't get removed from power as he accomplishes things back in his native Argentina.
Spinelessness. We'll
see. Time will tell.
Spinelessness.
Speaking of spinelessness, your campaign slogan. You could buy a bumper sticker, spinelessness, at toadforlp.com.
Yeah.
Tell me about your campaign, man, because I like it. Troll for president? Is that...
Well, I don't know if that's what I'm trying to.
I know.
I'm trying to be like disruptive as far as my campaign. So, I mean, the reason why I'm doing it in the first place is because when I first said yes, I'll do it. The only people in the race at that point, I think, were Termott and Chase and maybe one other person. And I'm looking and I'm like, none of these people represent like the Ron Paul revolution, the Mises caucus takeover, whatever. I'm like, I think I do, so I will do it. And I was asked to do it by Ben Weir from the emo caucus. Oh, yeah. So I'm running as the emo caucus nominee. I'm like, all right, I'll do it. And I guess he had asked Josh Smith before that and hadn't gotten a response. And then Josh entered the race right after me, that bastard, because he and I agree on almost everything. So that's great. But yeah, I'm trying to run like a more shitposty campaign and less political campaign than anybody else, which is, of course, drawing comparisons to Vermin Supreme, which I don't like.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Vermin Supreme is a fucking communist, and he's been awful on everything since like 2020. So there's absolutely no way that comparison should be being made just because I went barefoot at the Georgia debate. But my campaign, I mean, sort of like in a nutshell, I mean, I mentioned the LP Alaska video that I sent down to me. You can go watch that where I kind of laid out all the things that I'm kind of preaching. These are like the planks of the campaign, which does not even have a website. But number one was meme them until they cry. So I'm trying to, It's supposed to be all these kind of meme-ish slogans that are kind of the slogans that exist in the libertarian sphere that trigger certain people who are sort of the like left libertarians who are kind of in opposition to what like the Mises caucus people tend to believe, or like, I don't even know if you can call the Mises caucus people at this point, but more of, I guess, the right libertarians, if you want to call me that. So the meme them until they cry is basically like, let's take to social media and just aggressively shit post against like all of the bad guys, essentially, because you're allowed to interact with like the worst politicians on Twitter. And if people are out there and they see that and you get some traction on some of those tweets, I think that's a good approach, a good way to do it. And then also being on Tower Gang and just like trying to move culture that way, where it's like, even though it's apolitical, it's like, look, we're like normal dudes. I think we're just shooting the shit, basically trying to make people laugh. Like, that's what this is all about here. So I'm trying to do that too. Number two is governors to Gitmo, which I don't know if that was a Michael Malice thing or a Jeremy Kaufman thing, but Top Lobs, I think, put out some merch with the governors to Gitmo with Cuba on it. And that is about accountability for the COVID lockdown regime. So all of the governors and all the perpetrators at the federal level who did that to us, it was the worst example of tyranny in our lives, the worst crimes against humanity enacted upon us in our lives. Those people have not seen any accountability whatsoever. And I think they should be held accountable in some way. And I even kind of just believe that unironically, that for them to be held accountable, just throw them in like one of the worst prisons in existence. That would maybe even be going too lightly on them. So that is number two. Number three is, I think, probably the January 6th one, which is free the January 6ers, because I don't think that they should be having their lives ruined over walking into a public building, essentially, which is what most of them did. And they were really just voicing their displeasure with the federal government at that point, and also voicing that I think they thought that the election was stolen, which I think I would actually say that I agree with that. There are various ways where I think you could say that, yes, it rose to the level of, yes, it was actually stolen. So even if you don't like Trump, you could still agree that that is the case and that these people should not be in prison for doing essentially nothing wrong. And on top of that, make January 6th a national holiday, honor the patriots of January 6th. Number four, I guess, is the war one, which I was calling Crimea River, because back then it was Crimea River because it was the opposition to the U.S. involvement in the Ukraine war, which was getting us closer to World War III at that point. But now it has sort of had to branch out into the U.S. not being involved in the Israel-Palestine conflict either, which both of those things are just like getting us closer to world wars and are just, they just amount to mass murder. And there's no way the U.S. should be involved. The U.S. is posing those things as as defense, basically. Say, oh, we're helping Israel and Ukraine defend themselves. That is bullshit. It's just all it does is kill way more innocent people. So that's that plank. I mean, that one's, I think, easy to understand. And then the fifth one was to eliminate the Department of Education. But I tried to put like an emo, I'm trying to put an emo spin on some of these, like Crimea River. And then the Department of Education one, I kind of flipped also into stop children from transing themselves by promoting emo listening instead. So
trans is the new emo. It's the new goth for sure.
Just do what I did back in the day in high school and listen to The Used and My Chemical Romance and just cry a little bit. It should not rise to the level of you of you cutting your dick off and ruining your entire life, man. I mean, look at me. I'm a well-adjusted young man now just because I did not chop my dick off.
Yeah. I mean, there's always time for that to do that when you're older. Yeah. Well, I mean, your time will come and your dick will come when that time comes.
That's right. Yeah. So that's,
well, you guys can, yeah. So you could, yeah. And so the way this is set up right now, I think you are in qualifying position, by the way, for the,
I think I fell behind Lars. So I'm one spot out right now, but
okay. Well, there you go. So you need to
get into the debates at the national convention. The top five money raisers in that poll that Brian is linked to down there are going to be on the debate stage. Go back and watch the Georgia debate, man, which I think is on LP Georgia's Rumble or whatever. And if you want more of that at national, vote for me. Get me in that debate.
I think it'll be interesting, man. So yeah, you guys can go donate some money for Toad, throw $5 at him. And if everybody throws $5, or as we said, you know, just one day you jerked off 32 times in a day. That's $1 a jerk off. Man. You guys can get Toad right
it's,
in that debate.
It's part of the lore, man, and it happens to be true. all the Toad lore sounds absurd, and it's all actually true.
All right, well, Mr. Toad, it's been a wild ride, man. Thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate it. Tell everybody where to find you. I mean, obviously, Tower Gang podcast, listen in there. Give them your private pod. Now you have your side pod as well. Talk about that a little bit.
My side pod, yes.
Side pod, a little side hustle.
Side action. Should I change the name of it to Side Action?
Yeah, I think
so. Side pod. Yeah, the action, because it's a betting podcast. But yes, I'm Tower Gang Toad on Twitter. That's where you can find all of my shit posting and sports betting tweets and whatever other insane shit I tweet out, and follow, I guess, my campaign on there, because there's no other way to follow whatever's going on with that. And the Tower Gang podcast, of course, is where that name comes from. It is the most offensive comedy podcast on the planet, even more offensive than Mean Age Daydream. We're on Wednesday nights. We stream live on YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey, and we cannot leave the episodes up on YouTube. So they're all up on Odyssey, and most of the recent ones are on Rumble, and they're also on Spotify. Somehow we're still up on there. So go check that out. Yeah, the Tower Gang, Wednesdays at 9:11 p.m. And my side pod is called Better Off Dead, at least for now, which is my sports betting podcast, right? I do an episode every single day on that show where I just talk about what I'm betting and spend way too much time talking about it, and it is severely autistic and suicidal. Oh, yeah.
But a great name. There you go. See, suicidal. Exactly, man. Taken after the great John Cusack movie with the same name, Better Off Dead.
That's exactly. Yeah, it is a reference that has many, many different aspects to it, many different layers to that.
All right. Well, I love you, my friend. Thank you for coming on. It's been too long, and I look forward to seeing you. Are you going to go to the convention if you're on the stage or not? You going to go either way?
Yes, sir. I'm a delegate from Massachusetts as well. So, and we have too many delegates who are total assholes this time. So it's not like 2022 where the entire Mass delegation was based. We're only looking at about 2/3 basedness this time out of the Mass delegation. It's bad. We're losing ground.
Don't worry. It'll be all right. It's all going to be all right. Don't worry. When my new message comes out, it's going to unify everybody. All right. Well, I'll see you in a month then, man. For me, yeah. Brian McWilliams from Toad of the Tower Gang podcast, from the Lions Liberty Network, and from Mean Age Daydream, keep those electric eyes on us, babe. And keep those ray guns to our heads. Later.